and every minute. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
This is Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit Work, the metaphysical, paranormal, and spiritual information show that is designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. On today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling, and today we are doing a program on self-awareness. It's a continuation in our series of self-awareness programs, but don't worry if you've missed the others, because each show stands alone perfectly well, and each week we add another aspect and another dimension to the ones that we've done previously. And anyway, you can listen to the shows in the archive section. You can find out that on BBS, the BBS website, or from our website. And if you'd like to join us tonight on the show, the number is free phone in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. But international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call. And it's 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. PST, and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, maybe buy a CD or book an Akashic reading, please go visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. As Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium, and each week live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my body to the spirit world, so they may use it to speak through, and I know absolutely nothing of what has happened during this time. When I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us, and then they bring me back again when the spirit communicator leaves. I not only miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was they took me either. It really doesn't matter. It's not an issue. It's fine. Absolutely fine. I'm happy. And so that's just basically what we do. Kind of briefly describes it. And that's all I'm going to have to say, really. Because the most important thing for me to do is to go off and hopefully Gregory will be here. He's never failed us yet. And it'll take maybe sort of, I don't know, 10 seconds or so for him to come through. And the reason for that, by the way, is because we've been doing this for a long time now. And they've pretty much got it down to a fine art, the whole mechanic of being able to create the right environment around him and around me so that I can just get out of the way and they can take me away, and that's fine. I just give myself to that situation. So that's how it works, and hope you have a great show, and goodbye for this week.
Yes, Mick's going to do his little ritualistic, take his glasses off, have a drink of water. He's laughing now because he didn't realise that it is that obvious. Anyway, he's going to go off nicely and do that now. I'd just like to tell you that Gregory Hay is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. And they consist of many great minds as well as ordinary people. And between them, they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They've come to bring their teachings because there is a need for us to have understanding beyond the constraint of our human minds. And I know a lot of our listeners know that and are aware of that, and that is why they listen to the stations like the wonderful BBS, so that they can get a wider perspective on stretching their minds and listening to all the other people and light workers that work on BBS. But, you know, not everybody does, and it just means that armed with knowledge, you might be able to jog somebody else's thinking in some way or other, or maybe they'll follow by your lead. And this is how it goes. It spreads, doesn't it? So they might get, you might turn them on to BBS, and that would be great too. And don't forget our website is spirit-teaching.com. If you do come across anybody, then send them along. There's lots of information on our website. The subject matter that we cover, whether in our books or on our radio shows, is limitless, and will hopefully help everybody to become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of their existence on Earth, as well as the continued life after physical death. Our mission is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others, and to restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. We do have with our Akashic readings, we do have our spring reduction still on. So if you wanted an Akashic reading, and we're been a bit careful on the pennies, now's your chance. So do get in touch. Have a look at our website, www.spirit-teaching.com. Go to the Akashic readings page and see what you think. I'm sure you'll. I'm sure you absolutely love it, because it's something that it's quite unique, and it's about your book of life, which is totally individual to you. And it's a spiritual reading, okay? It's not a psychic reading. It's not, you won't get messages from loved ones or any psychic predictions or anything, but you will help. It will help you to become more knowledgeable about who you truly, really are as a spirit being, and how this connects with your life now as well, so, which will help you in making more measured and more obvious choices in your pathway, in your physical life, as well as your spiritual pathway. And you'll find out all sorts of things about your spiritual gifts, which soul group you come from, what guides walk with you, and all of that good stuff. So do take a look. Anyway, I do believe Gregory is with us now.
With love and light and blessings be upon your pathway, my dear friend, little bird.
Thank you, Gregory. So today we're going to continue talking about self-awareness. And I did say last week, at the end of the program last week, we had a caller and a question from John in Chicago. I will read that question out for John, but I won't start it off at the moment with it, because you usually like to give us a preamble about what we're going to be talking about this week. I don't want to take it off track, because I know it'll fit in. It's up to you. I can.
No, that's quite all right.
Okay, then. All right. Well, first of all, John asked about the facts of the repetition of the virtual world and video games, and the grasp on children. Yeah, sorry, I'm talking about children. Grasp on children's understanding of reality here and in the afterworld. How,
yes.
And how it trains them for that. You know, so basically, that was his question.
Yes, well, but it's really two different areas, wouldn't you say, my dear friend? Because if you are looking at specifically to do with video games, many of those tend to be rather violent. So this actually predisposes that the people behind them are rather violent, or have that way of looking at life.
Well, yes, but on the other hand, if you look at all of the soap operas, they're quite violent and nasty and vicious, and you get ordinary everyday people being absolutely glued to the TV screen every day,
yes.
Getting their little fix of it's supposed to be
of whatever life story.
That's a sort of like a virtual world, isn't it, really?
Yes, very similar, and in very similar ways, of course, it is actually reflecting the deeper spaces that we observe from our side of life of what is actually happening in your lives. After all, you are all living in countries where there are issues to do with personal violence, where there are issues to do with the, I suppose, the blurring of the lines, or the the moving of the borders between what one society deems as being wholly acceptable and what another says is not acceptable, and yet they appear to be very little energies involved in actually putting things right. Mm-hmm. It seems to us that as we observe humanity struggling with these events, as devastating as they are, every little step of violence that humanity makes toward one another is yet another issue in the pathway of spreading negative immaturity and negative hostility. These kinds of issues raise tribal awareness very often, particularly, shall we say, with people who feel that they have to join into groups in order to become self-protective. These are obviously situations which bring about an extreme amount of energy, of negativity and violence. But not only that, it also brings about a failure of personal misunderstanding. So that what you actually have here, shall we say, your child has joined a group, a gang, I believe it's called. Now, they had these at many other times of history. There were gangs of this and that. Different groups of people who were insightful of their own nature and spiteful toward others who were not. They grouped together like small herded animals, perhaps like a prize of lions or something like that, where they actually felt stronger and safer in numbers, and that they found that they could also wield power upon others. Their negativity and their anger at not being included, there's a key there, not being included, actually meant that what the rest of the society was faced with was this kind of unwieldy, more unwieldy animal that they couldn't break up, that they could not affect change with, couldn't put each person into a comfortable box, so they ended up in placing them into the uncomfortable box of negativity, sending them to prison or whatever it was for the lesser crimes that they create as they gradually move up the field of further and further negativity. What actually drives these issues? Oftentimes, I know that we're sidetracking a bit perhaps from these kinds of psychological games of interspatial warfare, if you'd like. However, what then tends to happen is that these can also be subjects of the games which are played, which are played out. So you have these warrantless systems of violence that come about one to another. They're depicted and displayed as being something of bravado, as being something which then attracts others who see this as a possible way forward for them, because they're just as disaffected as the people that they see on the screen in front of them. Maybe they feel just as disconnected with their social group and so want to try to struggle to bring about a stamp of their own identity, and however that seems possible to fit. So what you are struggling with as a society is exactly what is played out within the minds of these young people and how they struggle to fit. But that's because society says you must fit in this box. It doesn't allow within the educational fields and processes of life to allow differences in the system, which has been accepted by the mass. You are always going to have this problem if you have a mass of society which dictates then to itself. And that's part of the problem, because it does not allow for individuality. I know very well that people within many strata of group will say, oh yes, well, we do allow for individuality, but there is a point. There is a morality border or barrier whereby people do not cross it unless at peril of their own identity. That it's then something which is brought about as an extreme negative event. So quite clearly, there's a great difficulty here for any society, any group of people, whatever it's called, doesn't matter. They're just words after all. You have a group of people who desperately want to be heard. Perhaps they have a grievance. Perhaps they don't. Perhaps they just find that they have such empathy, such energy that builds up within the group, that they actually like doing that. And it's something which then helps them and allows them to feel something or someone, that they actually have motive. When you look at people, children who play games on a screen, in some senses it's very good for them. Why? Quite simply because they draw upon hand-eye coordination. Spatial awareness becomes something which is very acute. And this enables these children to become quite deft at using that particular instrument, that particular machine. They practice for hours and hours, getting it right, honing their skills. Part of the problem may well be that with some games, they are very immersive. This means to say then, in some senses, are you shutting out your spirit by being so immersive in a mere game? It may be that part of what you are dealing with here is that you are actually energized as a child by being able to play on such a device. And it's something which really centers your mind and your concentration, your adaptability to use your fingers, to use your hand-eye coordination, speeds up your reflexes. You find that you become exhilarated by just merely playing a game and gaining the experience and the dexterous states needed to win.
Yes, well, I guess, you know, the thing is, if it literally is just seen as a game, even though it's violent, it's, you know, that they are really just getting the adrenaline rush from, beating a machine, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
And honing their skills in the way that you were talking about.
Yes.
Then that actually could be construed as being safer than being out on the street playing with their next door neighbour's children.
Yes, playing with other toys like knives and guns.
Well,
yes.
It could, yeah, well, you never know where it could go, all depending what area they live in. So,
of course.
I guess that could, I mean, but what about, I think John was saying as well, that how does this affect, if you're talking about reality, how does this affect their perception when they get to the spirit world, the afterworld? How does it train them for that? This is what he asked. How does the repetition
well,
of virtual world of video games train them for that? It doesn't, does it? But then,
well,
not everything does anyway.
No, quite so. I'm not saying that it doesn't train them, because actually what happens is that you are looking at whether that single physical life is, shall we say, changed or altered by the experience of using some kind of apparatus as that. And clearly it means to say that there has become far better physical spatial awareness and coordination. This means to say these can be properties which, if harnessed well within the child, are enabled to become to actually benefit the child. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily a negative. And I have to say as well that children who turn to violence or negativity don't necessarily have to come from a poor background, of course. Many situations of recent violence have actually ensued from children from wealthy families. And this is actually because out of sheer boredom or actually out of this state of, as I say, children finding that they are being pigeonholed, that they are being constrained and made to be rigid in their lives. Therefore, they cannot think outside of the rationale that has been given to them. They break away, break free, purely by exercising some other kind of situation which creates a chemical imbalance. And that really is what you are dealing with. Issues of negativity, extreme, whether they are that way, or issues of extreme sexuality, or extreme whatever it is, are always to do with chemical interactions. And that's what you have to look at as a physiological being having a physical experience. That's what you're dealing with. All of these issues come down to chemical reactions because you are a chemical being, a bunch of chemicals walking around in time and space upon your planet.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and if you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject, well, as it goes, as it's on running, do join us and the phone lines are open and we'd love to hear from you. The number is free phone in America. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. International callers, it's not toll-free, but the number is 001-530-876-3222. And basically, if you have a question to Gregory, to actually enhance the discussion, this is what we're after. It's not a reading situation, okay? Okay, yes, well, back to that, actually, Gregory. In a way, then, the child that is glued in front of the video games all day could actually be safer. Social skills, I guess, is something that they would lack more so, really.
Yes, and possibly as well, other interactive skills, not necessarily social, but actually skills to do with survivability. So how do you know that your child actually is aware of what to do when faced with violence themselves? Are you thinking that your child is automatically going to walk away? Do you think yourself of how you can overcome situations of violence or antagonism from others? Because of the fact that people live more and more in their physical lives with violence, because it's all around them, it may well mean that what they actually have to create in their lives is a different kind of reality, I suppose, a different kind of awareness, self-awareness, to do with your sensitivity of how you sense situations. And their unfolding energy. This is a very important matter to do with unfolding energies, to do with you as a physical being and your ability to foretell situations as they become more evident. You may be aware, for example, then with certain people, how their energies change in any given circumstance because what they're actually reacting to becomes a change of mind. They are forming different decisions all the time. That's what you're doing as you are listening to this program. It's what you're doing with everything that you do in your day. Every single moment of your physical day, you are forming decisions about how to react to an event which you are part of or which you are observing in the lives of others. That's actually what you're doing. You're making decisions, becoming self-aware, so that these decisions which you make are maybe that you are testing them within your mind, first of all, working out whether this is the right or wrong thing to make or do, the right course to take, perhaps weighing up the effects of that course, trying to predict the eventual outcome and whether you feel happy about that. This is what human beings do all of the time. And it's also what spirit do all of the time as well. Weigh up events, look at objectives, see the images, see it with what if you're a spirit. What do you see? How do you see with spirit if you have no eyes? However you do, in just exactly the same way as you see when you are in your conscious state and when you are perhaps having a lifetime dream experience or something like that, and you are finding yourself being motivated and moved into a different space, a different spatial awareness. That's a bit like, I suppose, thinking of yourself as being on a screen in a game that you play. And then simply all that you do is that you find yourself making reactive decisions about what it is that you want your body to do. In that situation, you are using your physical mind, your consciousness, to use your eyes to see. Once again, reacting with chemical reactions that enable you to make choices. All of these are decisions. Decisions come from more chemical actions and interreactions coupled with the electromagnetic and static forces which fire off the synapse in your brain. So all of this has a pathway and a course to take. When you are a spirit being, you do not have physical eyes, but what you have are consciousness eyes. That means that your consciousness, being still attached to some semblance of credibility, meaning that you can work out decisions, form judgments, not through ignorance, but through what you observe as a spirit being without physical eyes, but with the same depth of field that you had as if you had physical eyes. Why? Quite simply because you have memory of what your physical eyes were. You have cell memory coming once again from past chemical interactivity. That cell memory has dictated and brought to you the fundamental elements of particle theory which allow you to recreate the vision. Even if that vision that you now see as a spirit being is completely different to any other vision you had ever seen in your physical life. Because it will be. Absolutely so. If you are a spirit being living on our side of life, the way I am, you will observe situations, feelings and events. You will see them anew, in a completely new light. Because your self-awareness as a spirit being will be enhanced by the colorific effect that the spirit world has, that it is not the same prismic light experience that you have when in physical life, because you rely upon the status of physical state in order to enable you to see the radiance within a given spectrum of light color changes. And these changes and spectrums illuminate different pheromonic activity physically that enable you to see them. Or that they reflect back colors that simply are inclusive in the vision that you see. This means to say then, dear friends, that what happens to the chemicals that you should have or that you should have had that enable you to see in the spirit world? Because after all, you haven't got this body of chemicals anymore. You've let it go at the point of your passing. Your body you've left behind on the physical world and given it back to the world itself. What then, how then do you actually magnify the changes of events that you witness as a spirit being? How do you witness anything? Well, it's quite simple, really. It's all through cellular memory. The memory of your consciousness and what you have brought with you and that you are wearing as a spirit being, wearing this coat, this apparel of your physical life. And that is exactly how you see. So what about when you were a spirit being before you ever had a physical life? How did you see then? Well, sometimes as spirit beings, you would have borrowed the gift of sight, the gift of seeing an objectivity from somebody else's consciousness. You would have trained yourself within the halls of learning to be able to accept other beings' energy. Quite simply because as spirit beings, we are very curious. And that curiosity never stops. Even when you're a physical being, you're curious as well. Because that's part of your spirit trait.
Yes, well, I've heard you say many times, excuse me, my voice cracked then, that, you know, that you can have written books about subjects in the spirit world before you come to the earth plane. Obviously, we don't remember that, so obviously you have to be able to see to do that and work on many wonderful things, so that you haven't borrowed anybody's cellular memory then, have you? You've learned how do you do that?
Yes, well, quite, but that's what I'm getting at, really. So what then, before the time, the first time you borrowed some other energy. Hmm. What? How were you able to see as a spirit being when you first moved away from that which is God?
Hmm.
You were still a part of God. So that means to say that you can still identify with all areas of the universe because you are a pure being of light. And pure beings of light don't have to have the specific instrument of actually having an effort to see something or to witness something, because they just do by the energy of being there. I know that's maybe a bit nebulous and a bit difficult to take.
Well, the thing is, we're in dream state. If we're having a dream and we're being flown across some wonderful landscape, we can see it, so, and we haven't got our eyes open, so things going on there, Gregory.
yes, quite so. But in actual fact, you have got your eyes open. You've got your spirit eyes. And your spirit eyes do not necessarily have to have originated from an actual physical object of an eyeball and how it interrelates with a physical brain, sending signs and sending messages backwards and forwards for interpretation of that physical brain. What you are looking at when you use sight is a physical objective. And this means that it's a refracted mirror that enables you to see light, to accept light into a given space, onto the in through the iris, onto the retina at the back of your eye. This enables you to send your eye to then place images, these images, upside down upon the retina. This enables you, yourself, to then use that information and actually put it into some sense of order. The only reason that you see up and down or side to side is purely because of the movement of your own iris and your own eyeball and which direction that takes it in. However, as a spirit being, you don't actually need to turn your head to look at anything because you don't have one. There's a thing. You don't have a registry of physical state. Therefore, your energy is pure spirit. So what I'm saying is, when you yourself try to struggle with what you were before you were a physical being, the matter is obvious because you were pure beauty. You were pure energy. That means to say you had no faults and no traits. You had only the giving energy of that which is God, that which you may aspire God to be. And I know that that's just a word too. But in many respects, we could say that the energy of the universe is with you, is a part of you. And when you, before you ever have a physical state or you interact with other physical state in some way, your energy is pure. So what then is it that drives spirit to want to interact with physical state and not become pure anymore? And not be pure, not to actually want to be tainted by some other energy, some other situation, which then means that you are having difficulty with that energy, that you as a spirit being are not blessed anymore, but in fact are tainted by some undervalued energy, some situation of making mistake and poor judgment.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, what I'm saying is, if you have a pure spirit being then, how is it that pure spirit beings can stop wanting to be pure? And rather, instead of that, they want to go and have a physical life and become unclean. You see? Because if you remember that in your original state as a spirit being, you are beautiful. You still are. Your spirit is still beautiful. Maybe not you yourself. And I'm not casting any suspicion upon anyone. I'm just saying that that tends to be an object of the base value, if you like, that human condition has and finds itself in, purely because human condition allows extreme negativity and violence to overcome other fields of beauty, of rapture.
So yes, well, in fact, we've mentioned this before, that everybody knew that the likelihood of coming to such a negative environment as the Earth plane was going to taint our spirit, because you say our spirit's always pure, but our
consciousness level.
Okay.
Yes.
So, yes, so why would we do that? I mean, what is the risk?
What's the attraction?
Well, yes, I've always joked about I must have been having a bad hair day when I decided to come and have an Earth life, although parts of it is beautiful, yes. But it is very difficult for most people.
Yes. So
what is it that drives us on? What's the carrot?
It's a bit like lemmings, isn't it, really?
Yes.
First over the cliff. And everyone else wants to go too.
Yes, and so what's the drive there?
Well, the drive really is in understanding as a pure spirit being that oftentimes we seek to understand the challenges that can appear within life. Understanding these challenges in truth can mean that we need to go and have that experience in order to fully be able to realize them. It doesn't mean to say that as pure spirit beings, we are unassailable. It doesn't mean to say that just because we are pure spirit beings, that we are then all knowledge or all existence. Otherwise, we wouldn't bother to do anything and there wouldn't be any physical life. We would be still a part of that which is God, which we are. There. You see, we don't actually really have to do anything if we don't want to. But part of the attraction to that which is the energy of all life is to expand upon that energy.
Yes, but I can see...
It's self-creative, I suppose.
Yes, but I mean, I can see that the draw on maybe going to somewhere which is absolutely beautiful, a planet that is beautiful and is lovely and just, you know, heavenly to be on, you know, maybe with some negative situations on it, you know,
yes.
That might be worth it.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
But I can't understand. And I guess coming here is a bit like maybe if you were doing a university degree in some subject or some place, shall we say, in certain cultures, that it would be better to actually live that life to learn firsthand about how it makes everybody tick and the whole situation of that culture rather than learning out of a book.
Absolutely so. It's exactly the same if you have a team of scientists who want to really study certain forms of behavior. They will actually look at and observe and study for years upon years a group of ants, a colony of ants, and see how they behave in given situations, how their relationships work, their dynamic works, what drives them chemically to make the decisions that they make, and who makes them. These exactly replicate what we are looking at here with the energy of spirit, pure spirit.
And I guess we don't think when we're in the spirit world, when we're thinking about that, that, do we think, like we think here, oh no, that wouldn't happen to me. I wouldn't let that happen to me. I won't change. I won't denigrate myself in that way. I want to go to...
I want to make the best choices.
The best choices and to come here and make a difference.
Yes.
And
I understand.
You know, to come here and make a difference in a positive way, is that behind most people's thinking? Well, I guess everybody's got different reasons.
Most spirit, yes, absolutely so. No spirit comes to have a physical life with an agenda of negativity. That is not the engineers of the energies of spirit. That is to do with the energies of beings who have had a physical life. So what you have to understand is that all beings who are firstborn, who have a physical life, if you look at their spirit is still pure. Absolutely. Mm. As pure as that which is God. Mm. There is no original sin. Original sin comes about purely and simply because people think that inherently, physical beings are tainted. So that's why they have to learn. That's why they have to have some things beaten out of them, as some strains of society think. Mm. And that others have to be restrained in their energy. It's why societies try and struggle with the issues surrounding different peoples. Why it is that they do not want the environment to produce beings which are then difficult to control. The problem that you have at this time with the overpopulation of the planet, that you presently exist within more difficult boundaries of control. So that means to say that people struggle more with the violent situations which happen. These then have a knock-on effect and actually enlarge the effect quite simply because of the closeness that everyone has to one another. And that is true, my dear friend, even if you were, shall we say, three people living in a cave. And then one day, two children are born. And the two children who are born are loved and cherished, yes. But at the same time, the parents are thinking, how are we going to feed these two extra mouths? How are we going to spread our capacity to love and evolve them, that means we're going to have to create another room in our cave. So the situation of transparency, of what you as a physical being, how you react to even having another life in your own family, and how you relate to that life, tends to take issue of your environment and how you behave in it. It's one of the central tenets that human beings fail to see themselves, is that violence does begat more violence. That if you have strains in your society opening up as cracks within it, that people feel attracted to, because at least they're able to have some kind of voice, at least somebody is listening to them, when a society has particularly maybe struggled to decapitate the voices of every individual so that they have unblemished power over them, so that they can tell them what to do, how to think, how to react. Isn't this what you are finding and observing all over your planet? Different societies are rebelling against their own interior selves. And this is happening quite simply because of a complete disenfranchisement of the individual, and how that individual may then learn to respect self and others. You have already removed the boundaries, therefore these new beings are looking at where they live and are not agreeing with the system. They need change to the system. This is the kind of situation that is being thrown up. And it didn't all begin with a game upon a technical wonder, such as a computer.
Well, I mean, I'd like to expand, for you to expand in another show about your thoughts. I mean, about how we can do something about violence, maybe starting from a child's level, rather than the meditation. We always say about meditation.
Yes.
But I'd like to dissect in a more psychological way with your group of scientists and scholars.
Yes.
In medical profession in the White Cloud group.
Yes.
Just about that, about the tribal awareness and gangs, you
yes.
know, because, I mean, in sport we do that as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So we do train children from a young age.
Yes, and it's magnified all the time.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think that would be a really good and beneficial, helpful show. And, I was just thinking about SecondLife.com.
Yes.
And, you know, because we were talking about these virtual worlds. And it's a wonderful thing that you can actually buy land and go on there, recreate yourself, buy clothes, buy all sorts. And first of all, when I heard about it, and I thought, wow, you know, But the more I got into it, I think it's absolutely fascinating, because you can actually meet people as well.
Yes, of course, because they're real people.
Yes.
Yes, yes, quite so. There's a mouse behind every being that you see.
Absolutely. And, I mean, how amazing is that? It's great, isn't it? And it stretches all of your senses.
Yes, of course, and your spatial awareness. It means to say that you actually have to operate things in a completely different environment. It really makes you, as a physical being, think. And I feel that then becomes a very pliable situation and concept for you as a physical being to interact with. But it can also be something which is very beautiful as well. It's not something dull and lifeless and that doesn't have any contact with physical reality. In fact, what it can do is help to enhance thought and feeling about how you may then relate to your own physical reality. I understand that some people might think that this is something which just alienates you further from your own physical world.
Well, then they haven't really got into it properly, I think, if they think that, because I don't know. I'm sorry. I've got a thing about soap operas, particularly in England, I think.
Yes, yes, quite so. I think. Do
you know what I mean? And, you know, I at least you are creating when you are on secondlife.com. And, yes, do take a look at that if you've not looked round.
As, of course, I understand, we are going to be creating there, too.
We are. We're going to be doing a show or two on that. A series of programmes.
Yes.
And you'll be able to email in and ask Gregory questions, and he will answer them live on air. It's going to be fascinating, isn't it? We've got to build you a body yet.
I understand that. Yes.
What are you thinking? Come along, Gregory.
Well, it's a little difficult, really, building my body again. Yes. Having an altered state of experience, perhaps, of what that might look like. It's a strange concept. Of course, I am able to regurgitate my body in the spirit world, and that is something which I enjoy doing from time to time. If my memory serves me right and I have all the bits in the right places.
Yes, well, that's another one, isn't it? But, yeah, secondlife.com is going to be absolutely a hoot. It's really good. And we look forward to that. I think we're going to be doing that in June.
I understand that that's the case. Yes.
Yeah, so we want lots of questions to come in with that. So we've got about 3 minutes left on the show. So let's continue on with, let me see. No, that's too big a subject. Have you got anything that you can think of just for a few minutes, Gregory? That would tie this over.
Well, we were really just finishing up this situation then to do with how you as a physical being react to situations when you are using role-playing, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
In this kind of environment, as John so kindly placed this question.
Yes.
You are looking at these possibilities of role play and how it appears to be that you overcome and create your decisions. And as I said, by creating decisions, you are making chemical situations evolve in your physical state. That's what you're doing when you make a decision. And how you relate then to it, yes, it's a good game. It sends your adrenaline or whatever. It creates this or that atmosphere within you as a physical being, and you react to it. Other people in distant times of the past, and some still now, would rather whittle a piece of wood. And that's their sense of spatial awareness, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And they create something which is then long-lasting. The wonderful, beautiful gentleman that we met just earlier on, he whittles all kinds of things and tells a story within an object of art which he creates lovingly and with interaction with spirit. How beautiful can that become? The problem, I suppose, that people, human beings, have, or that they can have when they are using a technological wizardry, such as that kind of computer,
mm-hmm.
It means to say that, are you actually creating something with that energy, or are you just living with it?
Mm.
And then you are leaving it be. What then happens to that energy? It dissipates throughout your body. Not just the energy that dissipates throughout your body, it's also a chemical pheromonic activity, which then leaves layers in your muscle groups, in your tissues, and your sinews. So you actually have a physiological effect which happens, and it was created through you participating in the game.
Well, I think we're going to continue this next week.
And that's exactly the same situation that happens when you participate in anything of physical life. it leaves a residue within your physical body. How you get rid of it or use that residue is how you make your life work.
Okay. Well, thank you, Gregory.
With love and light, my dear friends. God bless.
God bless. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Do join us again on Thursday and then again on Monday on Spirit's Work Radio. And until next time, I'm Sylvie Avery. Be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to Dr. Fred Bell in the Health and Sciences Show on DBSRadio.com. Tune in or be tuned out.